It is time to talk some Browns football with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram. He joins myself and Matt Douglas this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing okay. Got to spend some time in San Diego over the weekend to see the Browns play. We had some San Diego-like weather here back in Cleveland, so it was nice weather here as well. And, of course, you came away after the game thinking, well, if we didn't have that last penalty, what would have happened? I guess it would have just been a tie, and then who knows how it would have come out. But such is the case. The Browns losing 30-27. Kind of a big day for Josh McCown, wouldn't you say?
Well, I would. You know, I thought he played really well, especially that last drive before San Diego went down and kicked a winning field goal. You know, they needed 8 points. He was composed. He made a couple big throws. They get the two-point conversion, put themselves in a chance to get to overtime, and then the defense didn't step up. And, you know, Josh has played, he started the last two games and played them completely. And he's played well enough to win, yet the team has lost both those starts, and it just points to the issues on the defensive side of the ball, which was supposed to not be an issue, not be a problem this year. They're supposed to carry the team.
I had heard that San Diego had a lot of offensive linemen out of the game. They were using backups. Is that true?
Their center, left guard, and left tackle were inactive, and their right guard was limping all game, and yet the Browns couldn't get enough pressure on Phillip Rivers. And part of it goes to Phillip Rivers because he got the ball out of his hands in a hurry because he knew the protection might be compromised. But to me, that was one of the bigger issues in the game. The Browns have to be able to pressure the quarterback. I didn't think they were good enough at it last year. They tried to bolster the pass rush this year, and except for 7 sacks against rookie Marcus Mariota in week 2, who held the ball for a long time, they haven't been able to get to the quarterback the rest of the year.
You bring up the pass rush, Scott. How do the Browns have to effectively get there? Is it the linemen who are sort of slacking here, or are the coaches not sending backers? What's going wrong?
You know, and I think it's a bunch of different things. You know, the 3-4 defense, a lot of it relies on the outside linebackers. Mm-hmm. And that's Paul Kruger and Barkevious Mingo and Nate Orchard, the second-round pick. He's a rookie. I think they're misusing Paul Kruger a little bit. I wrote about it on Friday, and I talked to Paul about it. They're playing him more on the strong side, which means he's dropping the coverage more. And for a guy that led the team in sacks last year with a career-high 11, it doesn't make sense to me why you would drop him in coverage. Let him go get the quarterback. Now, you know, Kruger did yesterday. I talked to him after the game, and he blamed himself. He said he had some one-on-one opportunities to rush the passer and didn't win, and that contributed to the loss, obviously. I just think it comes down to scheme needs to be a little better, and then the guys need to win. Kruger, Orchard, Mingo have to get to the quarterback, and they just haven't done it yet.
We're talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram in Browns losing 30-27 yesterday. I find it unique that the Chargers have 3 kickers. They have enough space on their roster to house 3 people who do such a specialized job?
Yeah, you know what? That's, if I were making a roster or, you know, kind of putting a roster together, I wouldn't do that. But some teams think the kickoff is so important that they have a kickoff specialist who booms it, you know, out of the end zone because they don't think their place kicker can kick it far enough.
Let's talk about Duke Johnson. We've been waiting for him to kind of show his stuff. I guess yesterday was an indication of what's to come.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, it was only 3 games, but I was a little down on Duke just because I had such high expectations for him coming into the season. I knew the Browns wanted to use him a lot. You know, they had a big role planned. He missed a lot of the preseason with the hamstring injury. And I hadn't seen any explosion out of him until yesterday, and it really showed up. Great catch on a 34-yard touchdown. The Browns got the matchup they wanted, and he beat the linebacker. Nice catch, nice throw. And that's what he's shown he can do, is he can catch those little dump-offs, make a guy miss, and pick up valuable yardage. And I think he can also run between the tackles. For a little guy, he's shown me some stuff, and yesterday was the first day you really saw what he can do, and it made a difference because the Browns were able to score 27.
Is he healthy? I know he left the game for a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? He thought, I talked to him afterward, he thought that it was bad because Josh McCown got hit and kind of rolled up in his ankle. But I think it was one of those things where the pain is bad initially, and then you're like, oh, it's not bad, because he went back in the game and looked okay. He said he was fine.
Scott, you bring up Duke Johnson. How about Isaiah Crowell? He seemed a little bit faster yesterday. The running backs helping out this offense a little more here?
Yeah, you know, they both went over 100 yards from scrimmage. First time for the Browns, they had 2 backs do that since, I think, 2004. You know, I like Crowell, and I think he can be a solid back in this league, but it comes down to consistent effort. And Mike Patton's been on him about that. After week one, he talked about missing tackle, you know, breaking tackles, and he did it week two. And then week three, he missed a hole on a goal line, cost the Browns 4 points. And then yesterday, I thought he did a better job of finding the holes. So you'd like to see more consistency, but I think those two guys can be a solid 1-2 combination out of the backfield.
Well, let's talk about our team that's our next opponent, the Ravens. This is a fight from the bottom. Talk about what we can expect coming up against Baltimore.
Yeah, you know what? They're banged up. Steve Smith, probably their best receiver, has micro fractures in his back. Coach John Harbaugh already ruled him out, and I don't know if that'll change, but he said Saturday he's not going to play against the Browns. They lost another receiver with the back issue. They traded for a receiver on Saturday. The thing about Baltimore is they were one play away from being 0-4 Thursday night when they were playing Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh misses a couple field goals, can't convert a couple fourth downs. All of a sudden, Baltimore's 1-3 with the Browns coming to town on a long week for Baltimore. They get a lot of rest. Baltimore wins this. They're 2-3. They're right back in the picture. So it's a huge game. 1-4, it's awfully hard to climb out of that 1-4 hole. I think the key for the Browns will can they bounce back from such a deflating loss yesterday? You know, the offense played well enough, so they should be boosted. Can the defense finally get some guys healthy would help and figure out how to stop anybody? Because you can't drop to 1-4. It'd be nice to win a game in a division, you know, get off to a good start in the division. And really, the loser goes to the basement of the division, and, you know, you're pretty much done as far as playoffs. It's awfully hard to come back from 1-4.
Speaking of coming back, Ray Farmer now returns. What happens now with him? What will we see or notice at all, if anything?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure how much we'll notice. It'll be interesting to see if he makes any kind of big roster moves. You know, does he make a cut? I don't think it'll happen. But, you know, would he cut receiver Dwayne Bowe because he's been such a disappointment through four games? Bowe is his guy, so I don't see that happening. But those are the moves that you'd be keeping an eye out for. I just think the guy's got a lot of catching up to do. You know, you missed four games, and he wasn't supposed to have contact with the organization. There's a lot of questions to ask. Mike Patton, why are you playing this guy? Why are you doing this? Why is the scheme this? I mean, the stuff that they cover every Monday, he's got 4 Mondays worth of catching up to do. Not to mention, Ray Farmer's got to report to owner Jimmy Haslam and explain why some of his draft picks still cannot get on the field. You know, why Justin Gilbert's playing 4 snaps a game on defense. Why Bowe hasn't caught a pass yet. Why tight end Rob Hauser hasn't caught a pass yet. I think there's a lot of talking to do. And then we'll see what his opinion is of the 53-man roster, because that's his baby. You know, he's in control of the 53-man roster. We'll see if he has any tweaks to it.
Scott, you had the opportunity to get down in that locker room after the game yesterday. This is 2 weeks in a row. The Browns have essentially lost on last drives, giving up the field goal in this one, and last week the interception from Woodson. What's the mentality like for these guys?
You know what? I think people would be surprised that it's not as downcast as maybe they would think. You know, maybe not as downcast as fans are. And I don't know if that's because they thought they played well, at least offensively. It was a close game. The effort was strong. You know, we talked to Tre'Mond Williams, and he's a veteran, and he's lost a lot of tough games. You know, last year in the playoffs, they lost the chance to go to the Super Bowl when his guy beat him for a touchdown. So he's been through game-losing moments. And while he admitted it was a mistake, you know, he said he was trying to get a good jump on that offside on the, you know, on the field goal try. Not moping, but heartbreaking. You know, guys realize that it's a game they could have won, and how the season feels different if you win a close game like that. And they let two close ones slip away. So, you know, obviously frustrated, disappointed, but I don't think there's any sense of doom, at least at this point.
Well, if you look at our division, you got the Bengals now undefeated. How long is that going to last? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't think it was going to last through yesterday. I really thought Kansas City was going to go in there and get a win. You know, Cincinnati, they're a solid team. They've been to the playoffs a bunch lately. I just don't see them being a 12-14. You know, and I could be wrong. Maybe this is the year where they break through and they win playoff games and Andy Dalton shows that he belongs in that discussion with the Joe Flaccos of the world. But I still think they're a team that comes back to earth a little bit. You know, are they a 10-win team? Sure. But that puts them at, you know, 6-6 the rest of the way. And that, to me, seems like where they are. So, you know, I don't think this division is getting out of hand for, you know, if Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland can make a run. I think Cincinnati will come back a little bit. But it's got to happen soon because, well, you know, if they get to 6-0 and everybody else is at 2-4, 3-3, that's a large gap to make up in the last half of the season.
That's right. The higher the climb and the more difficult it becomes as the season wears on. Scott Petrick with the Chronicle Telegram. We'll talk with you again next Monday. Have a safe flight back to Cleveland. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.